What does Australia's next generation of young leaders have to say about the future of India-Australia relations in a post-COVID world? And how do Indian scholars, scientists, practitioners, and students factor in? You're listening to Shared Visions, the podcast that spotlights the Australian government's new Colombo plan and gets to the heart of these questions. Today, we speak with Krishore Subramaniam, a student of Mechatronics Engineering at the Queensland University of Technology, and Prakash Pandey, a specialist programmer at Infosys Limited.
My name is Krishore, and I'm an NCP alumni. I went on my program in 2018 and 2019, and my main location that I spent most of my time was in Taiwan. But the last internship that I participated in as part of my NCP program was an internship at Infosys in Bangalore in India. And so that's actually where I met Prakash, because he was working in the same team that were working there, the Infosys Center for Emerging Technologies. So that, yeah, I think I got that right. And that's where we met.
Hi, my name is Prakash. I've met Krishore during my work. He was part of the interns at Infosys. We came together to work on some of the emerging technologies, and I get to see his work during my work. Though we are from a different work, I'm from a different part of the team. But we get to sit together and then discuss about the technologies. That's how I attend.
What were your guys' respective roles as part of this team?
Well, my role was, this team works on, creating prototypes for business use cases, right? I think at least that was my role in it. And so we sort of decided on a particular project that I would work on, and I was just working on trying to create a prototype for that. And because it was involved computer vision, Prakash also had some experience, actually quite a bit of experience with computer vision. So that's where I was seeking advice on how to do certain things.
From the sound of it, you guys both work in sort of the tech space. You work for this Infosys initiative, and both of you also mentioned a few things about companies like Infosys and Tata, who are They've begun initiatives to exchange skilled labor back and forth between India and Australia, and I find that pretty interesting. And insofar as there's a lot of Indians who go abroad maybe to work in Australia, that there's maybe a few Australian students coming to India, but I don't know, from both of your guys' perspectives working in the tech space, what does that exchange of labor kind of look like, and how has that changed recently, or how is it evolving? If you would just like to talk about that for a bit.
I feel like, at least in the tech space, there are a lot of, exchanges happening because of the, India has a lot of young population working in tech space, and the world requires tech people more than ever. Right. So that's how even in my case, I get to work for a month in Australia. That's how I feel that a lot of migration as well happening in the tech space. So,
right. So you've worked in Australia before, Prakash?
I worked only for a month. It's a short term work.
But is it an experience that you would like to seek out more? Is that something that you want in your career?
Yeah, absolutely. I as soon as I landed there, I wanted to, even though it was a short term, I had a lot of opportunities to interact with the people, and I find it really interesting, and I wish to get back there.
Going to India to work for the first time, I know I have Indian heritage, though I've never really lived in India per se. I'm visited maybe as a holiday, but this is the first time being an actual workforce, workplace environment. And I was actually quite amazed by the tech talent that I saw at Infosys. Prakash, he hasn't actually, his background is, I think, a lot of VR, virtual reality type stuff. That's a lot of the work he does. And, he's quite experienced in it. And, there was a few other people that I met in my team that were very experienced in their areas as well. And it was just sort of and I know that it would have been really cool to see that opportunity for them to go to another country and share that talent with the people of that country. Like in Australia, we have great technical engineers as well. And for them to collaborate, I think, you know, it would really be a good opportunity, but it's not always easy, I guess, from India to travel to Australia. Right. But I guess, yeah, Prakash might be able to talk about the challenges faced with that.
Yeah. Because, you know, obviously there isn't a program as comprehensive as NCPE where, you know, we're sending Indian students en masse to Australia. But that being said, I think, you know, much like Singapore, it is kind of one of those education destinations which is a bit more accessible to Indian students who have this desire to study outside of India. But actually, Krishore, I wanted to ask, you know, as someone with Indian heritage, but you've grown up in Australia, right?
Actually, I grew up in Singapore, but I migrated to Australia when I was 9 years old.
Okay. As someone with Indian heritage, but having grown up outside of India, but then you came to India for a couple of months as part of the program, you know, I'm someone myself who kind of occupies this weird like diasporic space. I wasn't born in India, but I've lived here for most of my life. I was born in the States and lived there for the first few years of my life and then came here and then lived again in the States for a while before coming back again. So I've also similarly kind of occupied this in-between space, but I'm just wondering, like, how did the NCP program, like, how did it impact you personally as far as that stuff goes, you know, as far as like your own background, your own heritage, like did it open up something? Did it start a conversation that you wanted to start or something along those lines?
Going from Australia to different places in the Indo-Pacific, like I was in Taiwan, I did an internship in Singapore, and then in India as well, and in Japan as well. And all of these experiences, each country had something different to offer. With India specifically, like I've been there for holidays when I was younger, right, with family. But this time it was different because now being in a work environment, there was like a few things that really surprised me, right? Like the first thing was that there was an actual campus for the company. Like in Australia, and even in Singapore as well, there's no campuses. Like the office is just one building, right? But in Bangalore, it was like there was so many different departments, but all in the same campus. So first of all, that really amazed me. The second thing that was interesting as well, this might be just for Infosys, but just how the working lifestyle was structured. Like in Australia, it's very like 9 to 5 or nine, like, you know, to that time that you're working and that's it, right? Like you just move, you move on and you have your work-life balance. But, you know, like in Taiwan and Singapore, people work much longer hours. And in Infosys itself, there was sort of like a flexible work schedule. So it didn't matter how long you were at work for, it mattered like that, how much work you got done. So you could be flexible about it. Yeah, you could be flexible about it. You know, you could take like however many breaks you wanted, as long as at the end of the day, you got the job done. And so that was a different work style. But the thing that really stood out to me the most was just kind of like the, I guess the immense privilege that we have living in Australia.
Definitely.
Because there's a lot of opportunities that we have that's much easier for us to access in terms of education and professional opportunities. And, you know, India, there's a lot of competition in India, and there's also a lot of disparity between in wealth, you know, in that sense. Like, you know, the Infosys campus, you know, if you go inside, it's like really beautiful and luscious and everything's well kept. But then right next to it, you step out the gates and suddenly there's like, you know, you hit like the you know, the stray dogs and the noisy cars and you know, there's like street stalls at the side, and there's like a real big disparity and in terms of that. So that really hit me, and something that just made me kind of just appreciate a lot more of what we have to offer, not to offer, but what we have to like progress ourselves. And you know, there's just a lot more to be thankful for that you don't realize until you go visit Asia.
Definitely. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. Yeah. I kind of want to switch gears and talk a little bit about the work that you guys did when you were there, because it's definitely not within my domain. So I'm more just interested as someone who doesn't know very much about the developments in this space. So Prakash, you're at Infosys, and you know, you do augmented reality and extended reality research. Just tell me a little bit about like what kind of research you're doing now, and you know, how this space is developing right now in India, because I'm just interested to know.
We see these new technologies grow mostly in the developed countries, and now more than ever, globalization has been the case. And
right.
We do a lot of work that involves work that is being done for developed countries as well. So from a company perspective, it's going to be always progressive. And
right.
What I'm doing now is something that is applicable for the entire globe as a whole, not mm-hmm. just India, right? So
right.
In my case, it is extended reality.
Mm-hmm.
It covers all the spectrum of augmented reality, virtual reality, and mixed reality. So it's a common term used for you know, visualizing the computer graphics in a way that is natural to us, right?
Okay.
We are three-dimensional beings, and we wanted to do things in 3D, right? And that's what our natural way of interaction with the environment is.
Right.
That's the and augmented and virtual reality does exactly that. We are in a point in the tech space that we can afford to do computations in three dimensions. And with the new devices coming up, which supports these possibilities in three-dimensional computation, we have to create such use cases which can do this kind of. I mean, it's a new kind of interactions with the environment, right? So that's the main reason as a company. Infosys is interested, or you know, as a general thing, anyone is interested in these new technologies.
And what kind of applications, like it specifically? I guess, you know, just because the technology is being developed in India doesn't mean it's directly relevant just to India. But I don't know. Do you think there are what kind of practical applications can we look at for something like this? Like currently in a place like India, for example. Because the concept alone is so foreign to so many people. So I'm just curious, yeah.
Yeah, so even though we are in a developing nation, it doesn't mean that we cannot use technologies, right? So
Definitely.
Yeah, it's what is actually helping us develop in a better pace compared to other developing nations. And for example, the mobile phone has revolutionized a lot in our in India, basically. So digital payments, as it is, there are many examples which help us. So what I would say is there are many applications currently available in, for example, augmented reality. For example, Pokemon Go as an app has as an app even hit the Indian markets, and then it went really. You know, there are a lot of people in India that took their mobile phone and roamed around the streets to catch Pokemon. So that's the kind of you know, expectations that the people have. And India is one of the biggest markets around the world, and that is also one of the reason. And I don't think India will lag behind all these technologies. India will have its own place in the technological innovations.
And what about like working collaboratively with Australia specifically, like in this space? You know, what kind of developments are happening as of right now? What are we looking at? What does the future look like?
Well, I don't know. I feel like Prakash would know more about this because I'm still in my final year at university. So from what I've seen, at least from Infosys' point of view, because that's while I was there, I was actually surprised by the number of collaborations they had with like key companies in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the technology that drives the current Australian systems is actually like, you know, some of them actually you would find Indian companies behind it. And that, you know, I don't know how much detail I can go into that, but, it's just something that people don't really realize how much of like the tech that we experience in Australia, you know, the foundations of it is coming from a different country.
Yeah, I mean, technology as a whole is, if there is a new innovation coming up and it has to be implemented across globe, right? And the implementation aspect requires resources and human resources associated with it. And India has a lot of talents around that.
Right.
And those talents and the people associated with those, innovations and the new technologies can help implement it with Australia, and they can increase the, they can decrease the time that it takes to implement these technologies. Even in augmented reality and virtual reality space, you can expect a lot of healthy competitions coming up from India, and they can do it more efficiently. That I can say that they can do it more efficiently in a way that they can provide a lot of people or a lot of companies that can come together and help in getting those things done.
Yeah, I don't know if this will be a bit of a big jump, but I think with having any of these conversations about developments in a field like technology or autonomous technology, one kind of has to contextualize it with the current climate, which is obviously of a global pandemic. In all the conversations that I've been having, there's always something there to talk about in terms of one, how has the pandemic affected the development of the field itself? But secondly, how can India and Australia specifically as two countries, how can we work together to alleviate, the effects of the pandemic and to maybe try and forge a path ahead? I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts about those two things. What does the field look like now considering the pandemic? It may not even be affected. You could just say, oh, yeah, it's not affected. But also then both the countries working together as we move into the future, as we try and alleviate the pandemic, what does that look like?
I guess in response to the first question, what has really changed in the tech field? And I'm obviously looking at it from a third person point of view. I'm not sure what's happening within the companies. Though it seems everyone's working remotely now. So actually it probably even opens up more doors because now geography isn't a problem, right? Now you can just focus on the merit of, you could go and recruit from wherever you think the talent is. And you don't have to focus on that one country. So I think that's actually opened up an opportunity in terms of being employed from a different country because you now have, everyone's working remotely now and it's like accepted as the norm. So right. If anything, it's like from external point of view, I feel when it comes to tech, things aren't really as affected because, especially because it's tech, a lot of the limitations other companies might face, like whether it's retail, or manufacturing, I think, it doesn't really face that as much. I'm not sure, Prakash, if you wanted to have a counter argument to that later. And I guess in terms of how Australia and India can collaborate, I think that a bit more could be done in terms of manufacturing, because I know there's a lot of when it comes to PPEs, personal protective equipment, there's a shortage in both nations. Well, at least before, now people have caught up more. But I think there's definitely collaboration there that could be had to support each other in this regard and come up with more advanced manufacturing techniques and less wasteful techniques, because I guess the subsequence of having more PPEs is also the waste that's generated from that. So I think potentially considering how that plays a part, and especially because people in India also, when it comes to healthcare, it's much more, I think it's much more restricted to the people in India than it is for people in Australia. So definitely having that support from Australia in that regard, and having that two-way, finding some sort of two-way benefit for both countries would be good.
On terms of the remote jobs that Krishna has mentioned, it's completely not that straightforward because there is a lot of other jobs that are around it that For example, the first thing is the cost of living in a certain city, right?
Right.
For example, a job in New York, if it's done from a village in India, can have that many disparity in it, right? So, and getting the same kind of salary that you'd get in a New York, you'd become a millionaire in India, and there is this disparity in jobs, and there should be some regulations that should come up in that terms. The second thing is the jobs that will be created by the population around the tech. So, for example, Bangalore has a lot of people working in tech, and because of the pandemic, people have migrated to their hometowns, and the jobs that that are in Bangalore, which depend on these people, right? Those are the things that are really affected, I'd say, because of the pandemic. And as I think people are going back to the companies, and slowly things are progressing on the side, but still the jobs that were lost during that time of migration, the level that that's there is not reached yet.
And what about as far as India and Australia are like working together collaboratively during this time?
On the tech side, there's I would say the collaboration is still there. India and Australia are natural allies, and they support each other with a lot of interactions in the government side, as well as from the privatization, and the private companies as well collaborate with each other. In that aspect, I don't see a fall in growth of that projection. There is still a growth that is happening between the India and Australia during this pandemic.
Right. Cool. And that's great. And just to like kind of wrap things up, Kishore, I just wanted to ask, because the podcast will be heard by a lot of potential applicants for the program in the future, or people who are thinking about an exchange program of this nature. If you could just, say a few words about how the program impacted your trajectory as a student now, finishing college and about to head into a career, and maybe like why you would recommend a program like this to, students such as yourself.
Yeah. The Indo-Pacific in itself, it's one of the, it's growing at such a enormously fast pace, and there's immense value in, creating those more connections between like us as graduating students, who are then more Asia literate in that sense. We understand a bit more of how the different cultures kind of interface with each other, and the role that we play as potential future business leaders. Because that interface, that you being that connection between Australia and the Indo-Pacific, is going to be really crucial moving forward, and create that more mutually beneficial environment for both for the economies involved. And so, going on an experience like this, going to all these different countries through the New Colombo Plan, there's nothing that really beats that first-hand experience that you get when you go there. You live the lifestyle of the people there, you understand the struggles, the challenges, and also the joys that they face in each life, and you understand that culture, you're open to that culture, and as a result you come back with Australia with just a better understanding of the world and how it works. And this is that value is just something that you almost can't get anywhere else. It's definitely very hard now with COVID, like to not be able to be there in person. So hopefully we can find a way through this. And when we do, to be in that position to go to those countries and have that sincere appreciation for what you already have in Australia, and understand that with the immense opportunity that we have in Australia also comes that responsibility that we have to then, build on the connections that we have to, make that change we want to see in the world.